Well, we are glad that you are here today for worship at Grace Church. And as this music has inspired you, I know the whole service will as well. These things to bring to your attention, the purple flowers that are on the altar are from the memorial service that was held yesterday here at the church for Judy Hyatt. And you may have seen or heard that Buck Turnbull, a longtime sports writer in Des Moines and member of Grace Church, passed away Friday night. His service will be in August. Want to note for those of you who are in the Council on Ministries and Administrative Council, the groups will be meeting on Thursday this week. The Council on Ministries at 6, Administrative Council at 7, so keep that in mind. And then the men's breakfast. How many of you here today are men? How many of you here today know a man? All right. Well, they're all welcome to come on Saturday at 8 o'clock. I tell you, it's a great breakfast. Just a wonderful time of men getting together for friendship and so we invite you to come. It's in Fellowship Hall. So, ladies, if there's a man in the house, drive him here on Saturday. Make sure he gets here. And then you may have seen the display out in the narthex from Vacation Bible School. The children were involved this past week in all kinds of fun and learning, including scripture and Bible stories. And they also were sponsoring an offering for Heifer Project. How many of you have heard of Heifer Project at all? Long time, United Methodists and others certainly have. What a great ministry that this church has contributed to, and the children were and are contributing to it. There'll be one or more children in the narthex following the service. Look for them holding on to the collection can, and they invite you to be a part of that collection as well. They are raising money to purchase goats for Heifer Project. And if I recall right, they've already collected enough for 3.14 goats or something like that. So let's finish up that last goat. Well, we do thank God for these and many opportunities.
Thanks be to God.
Let me try that again. I lost my place. You all are just following along just right. We thank God for these opportunities for fellowship and service.
Thanks be to God.
Let us take a moment to center our hearts on God.
Imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God. Believing, receiving, becoming God's love. Imagine the people of God.
Holy Spirit, come upon us. Breathe new life into us.
Help us to share this new life in all that we do and say.
Help us to be creative as you are our creator. Help us to inspire others as you inspire us. Help us to be a new creation, for you have made us a new creation in you.
Call us away from the competitive ways of the world
and into the collaborative ways of the Spirit. Help us to build up rather than to break down.
To be renewed and refreshed when we are worn down and tired.
call us into the way of new life through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Our last worship experience in this series invites us to reflect on the fruit of our imagining the kingdom, the family of God, in right relationship. What does it look like to be in community, in a community that is believing and receiving and becoming God's love, and who can sing with exuberance that we are the people of God? Our scripture from Galatians in this service will offer up an image of what this looks like, and we will offer our lives in this loyal commitment to this vision of the people of God. Let us sing together.
Imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God. Believing, receiving, becoming God's love. Imagine the people of God.
Now let us sing together, Love's Divine, All Love's Excelling. It's number 384 in the red hymnals. Please stand. Please read with me. God makes peace within us.
Let us claim it.
God makes peace between us.
Let us share it.
Let us greet one another as a sign of God's peace. The peace of God is here to stay.
Thanks be to God.
Please share a sign of peace with those around you. Hi. It's a little far between, isn't it? Yeah. Peace. Good to see you, Marco.
Yeah. He's good at that. I appreciate it.
Well, I admit that it's really my fault that there are so few kids in church this morning, because I told the Bible school kids, and if you come to church on Sunday, you get to sing with Pastor Dave at the children's time. And we had a marvelous Bible school, and we had a lot of neighborhood kids that don't usually come to the church, and we included a lot of very young preschool kids. A lot of those families are at their home churches or traveling now, but we'd love to invite children to come forward for the children's time. I promise I'll try not to embarrass you then. So let us sing as they come forward. Let us sing, I Am the Church.
I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together.
Go see if Justice wants to come down. Why don't you help him? Do you see Justice? Oh, he's doing okay. Well, good morning. How are you? Hi, it's good to see you. And Justice, hi. Come, welcome. Oh, look at what you have there. Yeah. Come on, step up here. And I was just telling folks about some of the singing that we did this week. I haven't gotten to lead music at Bible school for a long time. So we sang a lot of my favorites. And I won't make you perform unless you want to do Pharaoh, Pharaoh together. There's just a few of us. It's a little harder. But what we should do is I would like to teach all of them the song Peace Like a River. Do you remember doing that? We did that one a few times. So let's go ahead and stand up, and we'll see if they're able to follow along with us. It goes like this. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And then we'll do joy like a fountain. Can you do that? I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. And then love overflowing. You ready? I've got love overflowing. I've got love overflowing. I've got love overflowing in my soul. I've got love overflowing. I've got love overflowing. I've got love overflowing in my soul. How do you think they did? Is it okay? They're all right. Okay, let's sit down again now. Thank you very much for singing along with us. That song I wanted to do because we were talking about it in Bible school, and then later on this morning too. We'll talk about what God sees and knows about our hearts, about our souls, the people that we are, that God gives us a gifts of joy and love and of peace. And that these come as gifts from God. Now, there's people in the world that we love. There's events and people that give us joy and who we love.
But that starts as a gift of God, and so much then comes from our soul. It's not just about what happens to us, but it's about what God gives us. That joy comes from us when we see what God is doing in the world. And there's a peace that God gives us, that no matter what we experience in our lives, we can still have God's peace. It comes from God, and it's in our hearts and our souls. And we can spend a whole lot of time looking for it outside, but God gives it to us already. Let's sing Peace Like a River one more time. You ready? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Let's pray together. Would you repeat the prayer after me? Dear God, dear God, we thank you for your gifts of joy, and peace, and love.
And love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming up. Thank you. Amen. And now let us sing together hymn number 428, For the Healing of the Nations.
We stay down.
For the healing of the nations,
and now, our reading from the New Testament is from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Chapter 5, we'll read from verses 13 and then from 22 and 23. Actually, this is from the paraphrase of the Bible, by Eugene Peterson, who does a wonderful effort on helping us understand, you know, some of the idioms and phrases and explaining as we go through. So you may recognize this passage. It does include Paul referring to Jesus' statement to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then also there's Paul's statement about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. And Eugene Peterson relates that list, but uses different phrases to say what Paul was talking about. For everything we know about God's Word is summed up in a single sentence, the apostle writes. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. But what happens when we live in God's way? God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. And how he describes the word self-control, he says, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. So a phrase I wrote to some friends a few years ago that I repeat now and then. It's about, for those guys I hear every now and then say, boy, it's like you can't hardly even say anything to a woman anymore, or give her a compliment without her calling you a creep or filing a lawsuit. I said, to those guys, I said, here's the rule of thumb. If you are a creep, everything you say sounds creepy. I mean, just kind of a basic phrase with a little lasciviousness, just, it's not the words, it's where it comes from and what it seems the intention is. Well, I think that Paul is saying something like that, but flipped around. Instead of creepiness, it's love. That love works in that way. If you regard God and yourself and the world and other people within the framework of love, then the fruit of that looks like love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. That's what it looks like. See, Paul was in a long, we'll nicely call it a discussion, a pretty spirited argument about what you have to do and be in order to be a Christian. And many were arguing that of course, you must first of all become a good, God-fearing and observant Jewish person, and then you added to that is Christianity. And so what they called the law included ceremonial laws and as well as moral laws and dietary laws, and he was talking specifically about circumcision at the time too, and people are saying you have to follow all those laws because God gave us those. And Paul is saying this is the key thing. What you must know more than anything is love. That is the number one. What they were concerned about is, well, if you don't follow even one law, then what does any law mean? We're still involved in those kinds of arguments and confusion, even within the Methodist church now. People say, well, if you don't follow this one rule in the church, then I guess we don't even need any rules at all. Well, Paul was saying in very much the same way that many say today, if we act, first of all, out of love, and then even if we make mistakes, with good intentions, if we continue to love and hear people and work on forgiveness, if we love, all the other things bear the fruit of love. And the fruit of love, the Apostle Paul says, looks like this. there was a bit in his discussion, his argument, that that we didn't read through, because he said, you know what the fruit of not having love looks like. It looks like lasciviousness and drunkenness and envy and greed, and he has another list just like that. If it looks like that, then it's not from love. And therefore, you know, you can have laws about that. But he said, the law for us as a people were like training wheels. But now we know God through Jesus. We know that God of love, and what he describes as we know, as a sacrificial love, a giving of ourselves to each other and of the world. And if we do that, then of course we're not going to go, my dad often says, beyond the ditches, into the ditch. We're going to be guided by love. That's what it's going to look like. Well, that's the only required part of the sermon this morning. So that is the main message. If you don't want to hear anything more, you can just go on out and, you know, leave something in the offering plate on the way out. The rest of the sermon is optional. I want to tell you a story and then say a few more words in illustration, and to help us understand what this people of God is, what we imagine, how this focusing on love and how we care for each other and treat each other changes individuals and changes the world. I don't know how Keith and Linda first met, although knowing Linda, she probably just called up a nearby high school and said, I want you to give me a name of a kid that this would work out for, or maybe a school counselor or something. She just would have taken charge and made it happen. Linda and Keith both lived in Minneapolis. And Linda and her husband, Vin, and her family decided that they would pay full tuition for a student from Minneapolis to go to Rust College. And Linda and I are both on the board down at Rust College, and you likely know Rust is an historically African-American college in Holly Springs, Mississippi, begun by Methodists right after the Civil War, and began as a full school, a high school, so that young people and young adults could learn enough to then begin a college curriculum. And it really changes the lives, you know, from the very beginning of so many people. And even today, over a third of the young people who enter Rust College come from families that live below the poverty line, and that's a low line. I believe it's still around like $24,000 for a family of four, if you could imagine that. And a majority of the students are the very first in their families to go to college, let alone graduate. Keith was in that situation, lived in Minneapolis. His father was not has not been in the picture. His mother was in prison at the time. And so Linda and her family became really his family for this purpose. Her home address was his home address for the college, and he went off to school. And he wasn't used to being off on his own like that. And he started off fairly good and then stopped going to class. You know, no one was there to say this is how you do it and how you keep on track in college. And he was missing a lot of classes, and, you know, the laws have changed and the rules have changed since, you know, the 60s or early 70s when people went to college. The college might call up the parents. Well, there's privacy laws. They can't do that now. So what they did was they sent a letter to Keith's home address, to Keith, and it was about his absences and what a problem that was. But here's the key. They wrote it on a postcard. And if Linda happened to read it, you know, that was fine, I guess. Well, Linda called Keith right away. He didn't answer. His phone wasn't on. And she tried a few times. He didn't call her back. So she called the dean of students. You're getting an idea of the kind of a person and personality Linda is. And she tells the dean of students about what's going on with Keith. And the dean calls. No response. Goes over to Keith's room. I think got him out of bed that first time. And however that first meeting was, the old come to Jesus meeting, it turned into a real mentorship with the dean and with Keith. And the dean did this with a number of students. It's a small school. People have a sense of a connectedness to each other. It's a school that takes its church connection very seriously. And Keith began going more regularly. Perhaps that was following the law. But at some point got that spirit of learning, and was became someone who was totally on track to graduate. And it was during that time, and maybe it was at graduation time itself, when Linda and Vin and her adult daughters came down to Rust. I remember meeting them that time, and that was probably the first time I'd met Keith. And they took Keith and a friend of his out to a very nice place to go to supper down in Oxford, Mississippi, about a half hour to the south, and it was nice. I'm not sure it was really Italian place, a nice pasta place to eat. And they came in fairly early, and there were lots of tables open, but they had to take a seat and wait. And then other people came in, and they were seated, and I don't know how long it was before Linda went up to the host or the maitre d' and asked why they hadn't been seated, and he had some sort of excuse. And then it became clear what Keith and his friend already knew. They weren't being seated because this was an interracial group. And I can't remember in the story what kind of fury Linda unleashed on that host and on the owner and the mayor and the governor about that. But it was also a key learning and insight for her too. People say, oh, we're all over that now. And this was, you know, probably just about 10 years ago. That, you know, what Keith and his friend and many other people know, that it's a daily experience to try to change these situations and people's hearts so that they act out of love and at least a sense of a fairness, a kind of racism that Keith encountered every day, let alone the other issues he had coming from a poor family and his mother's incarceration and his father's absence and all of that. What Keith had been able to do by God's help and plan to change his life. Keith graduated. He went on to graduate school, got a master's degree in social work, and worked as a social worker for a few years and touched many lives, and then came back to Rust College to be a teacher and an assistant professor there. Rust College's motto, which given developed by the very first president of Rust College, A.C. McDonald, is, "And ye shall know them by their fruits." By their fruits. What they do, what they produce, how they act. And there's no doubt that there's a great effort to say, don't just label people and decide whether or not they're worthy, but see what they do and then have insight. Well, that's a great message, and we often are judged by then what we do. But even better, if we can look at people and see what they are as created and given by God, what we will be and shall be together when we are the people of God. So the fruit is just an indication of that love, this sacrificial love that changes everything, that changed the world and all of our lives for what God has done for us and in us. I'm sorry to say that the rest of our story is that Keith passed away at a very young age. He had an unusual illness, was in the hospital for months, and then passed away from a heart attack before he reached age 30. But think of all that had happened, the fruit of love that had happened, that his reconciliation with his mother, his education, the many lives that he touched. Linda isn't the hero of that story. She did many wonderful things, she and her family, but also the dean of students and many teachers and many people who touched Keith's life. But he really is the one who did all of that. And finally, it's God. As the Apostle Paul wrote in another one of his letters, "I planted the seed. Apollos, another disciple, watered, but God gave the growth. Our series this last week has been about planting the seeds, giving the growth, the care, rather, and the nurture of one another, and feeling the nurture for ourselves. And then that growth, that transformation that comes in the lives and in the world. And then we see the fruit within our community. We imagine, partially now complete in God's plan and dream for us, imagine the people of God and all the fruit of the Spirit that comes when we love in these ways. I've said before that it's not just a matter of, do you believe in God? That becomes a mental exercise very quickly. Deeper questions involve, do you believe that people are children of God, that all are children of God, that God has planted these seeds in all of us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that people can change and transform? If you don't believe that, then it's hard to know if you really believe in the God that Jesus showed us. Do you believe that the world can change? If you believe that, then you can believe in God. And if you believe and you love with that tremendous sacrificial love, then you have already become part of that kingdom, that family of God. And that's what we live out. The seeds that we plant, sometimes never even knowing all that we've done and has been done because of these actions. The care that we give for each other, the care that we're aware of receiving, and that transformation. A transformation that comes when we break cycles, when we learn new things, when we're more open than what we were before, when we forgive. Because otherwise, it's just back and forth. We're just having our strings pulled by society and other people until we take that freedom of love that Paul talks about. When we make something new by our forgiveness, by our love, loving just because, not because we're part of a transactional relationship. It's breaking those cycles that brings the transformation. Imagine the people of God when they act like that. Believe it. Imagine it. Be that love. Amen. Now, friends, I invite you into a time of prayer together, a time of invitation and silence and the music and meditation and then prayer. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together.
Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where we are freed. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we might see all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be.
Let us open our hearts and minds to the Spirit of God. Now let music gently enfold us. Breathe deeply and clench your hands. Let your shoulders and neck relax. Allow your face muscles to relax and sit comfortably. For side to side, you are connected with those around you who wish you well. Today is that beginning of the rest of our lives, and the world awaits the emerging wonders, wonders of peace and patience and forgiveness that we are and will yet be. Let God's deep peace be with you. Let us pray. O Holy One, how can we ever understand the miracle of your ways? We see your creation and we know that you are God, even as we witness your mighty new realm formed with the humility and the love of a servant. Faith and acts of kindness grow into great good. We'll never comprehend how your kingdom comes, but we recognize its fruit. We see it in unexpected places, even in sickness and poverty and in conflict. We see it in places that we wouldn't want to live, and certainly in our own lives. Make us your people, created in love, to share love abundantly. Help us to bear the fruit of your grace in our lives. Your kingdom come. God of justice, in us and in our family, throughout your world. We pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In the Spirit, let us travel, open to each other's pain. Let our loves and fears unravel, celebrate the space we gain. There's a place for deepest dreaming, there's a time for heart to care. In the Spirit's lively scheming, there is always room to spare.
Well, even as Keith's life was changed and transformed by the touch of people around him who showed God's love in tangible ways, we have the opportunity as Christians to show that same love in tangible ways close by and around the world through our financial giving. Let us do so now. Holy God, as the sunlight is transformed into energy by plants, let the light of your love shining upon us transform us into the people of God. Let your word, sown deeply in our hearts, bear fruit in amazing acts of love and service. Open us to your presence and fill us with your spirit so that we may reflect your love for all people. Let others experience your warmth and your love through us. Amen.
Special thank you to Juan and Clayton. Thank you so much. It's good to have you back and be a part of it. Thank you very much. Let us read together. In gratitude, in deep gratitude for this moment, this place, these people, we give ourselves to you. Take us out from here to live as changed people, because we have become the people of God, touched by God's love. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, encourage many through us. Gracious God, may we live to your glory as inhabitants of this earth, as the body of Christ in our world, and as citizens of the kingdom that is yet to come. Amen.